This is Brother Clint. I'm recording this after the service that you're going to listen to, but I just wanted to let you know that this was a very special message. The Holy Spirit came down and touched it a few minutes into the message, so please listen to this entire message because there's some very powerful stuff from the throne room, a wonderful prophetic word. Thank you. Now you continue to listen to the regular introduction. Thanks for coming by again to the Holy Ghost Calling webpage sermon, audio sermon page. Brother Freedom and I are here. It's Thursday evening, and we're expecting something wonderful because the Lord is good. We were just talking about how there isn't a whole lot in other places when you don't have the Holy Spirit, but He is so wonderful. We're hanging on to the Holy Ghost because He's our helper and our comforter. We just pray a blessing upon you. We pray that God will touch Brother Freedom and that a message will be poured out that will touch your heart and make a change for the better in our lives. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your wonderful goodness and for your wonderful anointing and the life of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost that's being poured out in this special time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, I'm so thankful that I know that you still exist. And I know you still got the Holy Spirit. And I know that Jesus still exists. I'm seeing less and less churches that I can say they really exist. They're just a form. And Father, it makes me sad because the things that you've spoken of are coming to pass. We're seeing great falls of many people. We're seeing a whole start of new directions in church history and all the things. It's all in their own flesh. Father, I was sick last night and I'm still don't feel real good. And I just pray that you'll take over today if you want a service. If you don't want none, I hope you come on the scene because I need a touch myself. Lord, I need a new touch. I'm just human too, and I live in this cesspool of people that do not want your spirit. They want all things for the flesh. And Father, those things for the flesh, they're nauseating. They make us, they're not spiritual. They're opposite of spiritual. And Father, I pray that you'd lift up this service tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. To God be the glory, to God be the praise. We thank you for our wonderful Savior. And we thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'd really like to bring in you tonight, but maybe some of you have heard it, maybe you haven't, but probably really different than those of you who haven't heard it. But about 30 years ago, the Lord just came and read my heart really heavy, and I was a Caterpillar mechanic, and I was really having troubles. I was a resident mechanic, and I never could, seemed like I couldn't keep caught up. I was always a day short and always a lot of things short. And I really got tired. I got tired of the weariness. There was so much work in those days, so hard a task, and so many troubles, so many problems that existed just in the work field. So about in the late 60s, I started praying because I knew myself I needed something more than I had. And I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't have what I wanted in it, the fullness I wanted more. I desired more of God. I desired more of His power, more of His anointing. So I sought the Lord. The Bible says, call on me and He will answer us. He will show us great and mighty things that we know not. You know, I believe that many times God wants to see if we really mean business. So I safely say it was over 7 years. I think probably closer to 8 years, but I would say it was a good 7 years I sought the Lord. At that time, the Lord came in my heart in a very special way. He called me by His Spirit for the end-day ministry, which is now, and He was going to help me to prepare for it. In doing so, He was going to help me to endeavor to do the work that I was doing as a serviceman repairing cat equipment. So the Lord gave me a formula to go by. That's where I started from, basically. He told me to tithe my time and reading the Word. And not read the Word, but eat it. Just physically mow that stuff down. I mean, just pull it in my spirit. And I did that, and then when I got in my truck, I started praying. He told me to pray in the Spirit. Well, you know, it wasn't long that ingredient really worked. It wasn't long that God was doing something in my life. And I believe this is what He wants to do in the churches also. to get so much of Him in us that we're able to carry out the work that we do in His guidelines, walking to do His will. And I hear so much about guessing what the Lord wants, trying to get the will of God. Last night, I endured something that I didn't ever want to endure again. Well, I guarantee you, if you walk in the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, you will know the will of God. He'll make it plain to you. The thing that why we don't get it plain is because we don't really seek Him. But if we seek Him, God's going to open the doors of our wisdom, our understanding, the gift of discernment, all the tools that we need to be able to have God's Spirit actually lead us. And what man's done, we're trying to do Christ's work and end up what Jesus left here, the work of Christ. And Jesus said it was needful to go away, that He would send us the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is sort of in the back burner, so to speak, and it really is now. But a few years back, they started no longer wanted the Holy Spirit in most of the churches I was ever at. They wanted no power. They wanted to have the pastor would have the word. Evangelists, I thought they should keep on, but even them went into a structured ministry. Right from the very go, 10 Sunday school teachers, even way back, they all went by just themselves. Then there's prophets and apostles, which you never even got to them very much. You know, that the fivefold ministry is not even known of. But the Bible speaks a lot about it. The prophet, the evangelist, pastor, apostles, and teachers. So if you know, if you've got the teachers, they're Spirit-filled, and you've got the pastor that's Spirit-filled, and the evangelist Spirit-filled, and then you have a prophet that's Spirit-filled, and you've got some apostles Spirit-filled, you've got a real heavy nucleus that can do a great work for God. But you know, if you was the enemy, and seeing that you have this great power, what are you going to do? You're going to try to do something to sabotage it. And that's what's happened. Basically, this all was sort of pretty much up to complete in 1900, early 1900s. But Satan could see that it was too great of a threat for against him. If the church got alive, it was going to be tough on him. And he knew that the coming of the Lord had to be pretty much in this dispensation. So he worked hard. What did he work on? He worked on the new believers. Not the first believers, but on the later believers that come down through time. The first believers, they could see how God moved by His Spirit. They knew when that rushing mighty wind, I've been in the service, you knew when God wanted to speak. You knew when it was from the Lord because your hair was standing up on your arm. You had great knowledge that God was there. It was something you didn't guess about, you knew about. It was there. So I really believe the enemy brought great confusion among our people, people of God. And that confusion causes them to start not really wanting to tarry for the Holy Spirit. I think that was one of the first things. People tarried for the Holy Spirit. It was a real encounter. But there was those that didn't want to spend that people get lazy. They don't really want to wait upon the Lord. There's something within man that we don't really want to make a full commitment. Now, we can blame the devil, but a lot of times it's just our own self. We just lazy people. We don't really realize that God's looking for us to be an eager people to move in Him. He desires that. But sometimes we sit back and we just don't do our best. And I truly believe this is what happened about 50 years ago. People started saying, God is dead. And truly the church, the Pentecostal churches, a lot of them was getting dead too. They had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away from them. But then the ones that didn't have the power, those came in and be the leaders of the churches. It wasn't long you had a church that if you wanted the Spirit of God to move, you couldn't move because there was maybe you had 10% or 20% that really wanted God to move, and the rest of them didn't want God to move or didn't care about God to move, or just they didn't worry about it at all. So this division was starting to emerge, and it did come to a head, you might say, when they finally got tired and got weary of well doing, so they would not oppose the oppression of the opposers, which were those who were not really seeking God. In that, the church got very loose in its power. very insecure. They didn't have a great stamina for God. They had a lacking of the Word of God. They had a lacking of drive from heaven. They didn't understand that God was all, and that beginning the church was just as he would have a shining church without any problems in it. It would be a church triumphant in Jesus Christ. So the church started going downhill little by little. So then the leaders get together and they want to make this church work. So what they figure, and they thought, well, if we can get rid of all these people that so want the Spirit of God to move, we can get that sort of out, maybe not out of our books, but in our minds, we're not going to let these people be the leaders of our church, actually. They're a little bit funny. They're a little bit mixed up. So we know in our minds what's the best for this church. And so the mind started coming in, and the mind came in through the will of the flesh. And those that wanted the smooth Spirit of God, they had to literally move out. I've moved out of I don't know how many churches. I've been in a couple churches when if they said, point us out, if we get rid of these three or four people, we'd have a good church, and I was one of them. One church, it was three of us. And it was said, if we get rid of these people, we'll have a good church. But what the good church they're talking about is something that they're raising up from their own words, their own power, their own anointing. But this is contrary to what the Spirit of God says. This is contrary to what the book of Acts said. It says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses in Judea to the uttermost part of the earth. And in Acts it also says, this is to them as far off as I, the Lord thy God, shall call. That means to the end of this dispensation, it's still what God prescribes. It's still what he wants. It's not out of date. It's right now. He wishes for the church to be triumphant and the Spirit of God to be alive. Not to be weak no longer, but to be full of the Spirit, walking in tongues, interpretations, and all the promises. Walking, having discernment. And that was the area that most churches were short on. They didn't have no discernment to police. The discernment polices all evil activity. And it cuts it off at the roots. It takes it, and the person may not like it, but it cleans up God's territory. It cleans us up that we can walk in the Spirit. But this policing did not take forth to any degree. And so the culprits, those who were out of step from God, just went out and just went ahead anyway. As time went by, they got more liberal, more fleshly. There was not hardly any thought at all about a tongue's interpretation of prophecy. Maybe once a blue moon or somebody get up and said something that was like but even then it was sort of chosen, and the people didn't give the message, it was because it was not coming from God, it was coming from their own hearts. So that was wrong too, but it was coming from our own heart. God wants to move by his Spirit. He wants to move in a perfect manner. He doesn't want to be one step off. I found out many years ago that when I started letting the Lord basically take control, he'd tell me where to go, and it'd be exactly right. I remember one day I was going down the highway, and I was coming right about close to where the freeway had been in at that time, and just before I get there, there's a road that turns off, crossroads with an overcrossing, and the Lord spoke to my heart and says, you need to go into Williams Ranch and pull a fuel pump off of 1388, you say, God didn't speak? He told me all this. I didn't know it. No one told me, but he told me. The company I worked for did not tell me. So I went in there and proceeded in there, and I said, did you have a fuel pump? Did you just put on the 1388? Yes, we did. We haven't started yet. I said, good. But I think maybe it's not in time. So I checked it out, and it was out of time. It's exactly like God said. He never misses. You know, when I was first starting, he told me to go tell this other man that I worked for. I worked for a lot of people. His name was High. He said, you tell High next time you see him, he's going to lose two transmissions in two 46AD8s. This had never happened before to me, but I believe God. I said, I'll tell him. I didn't hide it someplace. I didn't go out and make everybody, push it down everybody's throat. I didn't tell other people about it. I didn't boast about it, and also there was two men with him when I told him. One's name was Don, one was Bill, and He said, what's going to happen to them? I said, the reverse carriers and both transmissions. And he said, well, we'll think about that. We really will. We'll keep it in thought. Now, he was a very special man. And I believe that's why God used him in this instance. Because he didn't ridicule me. He wouldn't do nothing but actually encourage me. He did not discourage me at all. He said, we'll do it. So as time went by, a few months went by, and they sort of forgot about it. Like, a lot of times we forget about when God moves on. We're human. That's why we have tongues interpretation refreshing. It brings you up to date. It brings you for that hour. It brings you right in time with God. That's why he does it much of the time. It's not an old something that gets old because he gives you something new. He gives us something new in these services every time we come here because God's real. That first transmission, it was in 96, 63, but something like that, pretty close, 9,000, it went out. Went through it, exactly what, if he caught it a couple weeks earlier, it wouldn't have been a wipeout. When it went too long, when the bearings come out in the carriers, planetary carriers, then the gears come down, the pieces get in between, and so then it just grinds everything up. If you can catch it, say, caught it just when it's supposed, it would have been no, it probably just put new shafts, and maybe a couple gears, and that's been it. But this way, it took the ring gears, it took the housing, it took the pistons, because it just got in there and just ground stuff up. Springs even got in there and ground them up. And then all the mess of clean metal that's ground up. So you got to thoroughly clean it. So when we finished up the first one, the owner came and says, you know, I think we better look at that in the cab. And just as we loaded up in the low bed, he says, you know, I said, we'll get to it tomorrow. Just before we got the other cat down to the job, it had already broke down. It was too late on it, too. But God was right. You know, God gives us consequences. If we go his way, he's very light on us. But that's the way it is in all parts of our life. If we keep letting it go, it starts grinding up something. Pretty soon you start losing your temper. Pretty soon you lose more than that and you get angry. And you go, it's the way it is. So if we go God's way, he lets us off sort of easy. But when you go a long ways, he really has to chastise those sometimes who love it. I started seeing that God could move immediately. I mean, his spirit was right now. He could speak to my heart that I knew right then I better do something. Another time. The only thing I'm bringing these out, the church needs hear what saith the Spirit of God. We need to know what the Spirit of God is saying. Is the Lord coming? We can see it in the times. But I believe that God will make it very close in our heart to that day that we'll almost know very closely because of the Spirit. I think that God's going to touch his people in a very special way by his Spirit. Those that will lean on him. And God wants us to lean on him. God wants us to trust in him. God wants us to put our faith in him and our belief that he is the answer. He is more than that. He is our eternal Father. And if we realize it, that he's preparing us to live with him forever comfortably. Remember, comfortably is something that is wonderful. But if we miss that, like that transmission, they started eating themselves up. They had lost a little bit more severe handicap. And that's the way we are. We get cold, indifferent. Pretty soon, if the Lord would catch us at that time when we're going to be ready for heaven, and we find ourselves out here doing something that we're not supposed to do, maybe it wasn't in our, maybe we had never done it before. But what if it happens right then, at that time when God's coming, and we miss? It's going to be like that transmission. We're going to find ourselves wanting. We have to put a lot of new parts in. God says there's not enough time to do that. See, there's a time when, right now, we're in a time of great change in the garden. A time when God is changing directions. This old earth is falling apart. This earth is shaking. Violence is in this earth. There's whoredoms of wrong spirits. There's great difficulties in this earth. The weather feels the pain. It's like a mother laboring for a child. This earth has labored As gotten the time, it's just a very awkward condition. The earth is getting out of balance. The earth is not where it once was. All of these people have done these great things, have detoured the earth. All these mines that pull thousands tons of ore out of the earth have to sort of put this earth out of balance. Because we're like a great big wheel that's running in balance. If you take a great big wheel and start drilling holes in it, well, that's what you do. It gets out of balance. That's how you balance up a wheel. You or something, when it's out of balance, you drill a hole until it balances. Well, if it's perfectly in balance, you drill a hole, it's putting it out of balance. So what we're doing, this earth is getting more shaky. This earth is getting more tinsel. All these great fires. Right now, there's fire growing up. And these things, when these trees burn down, the earth has a way of keeping itself in balance. But if when this happens too much, there comes a time of great slides, all that, you lose that weight. All with this earth is in perfect balance. So there's going to be it's like a powder keg effect that can take place on planet Earth very rapidly. And the Bible says, I think it's in Revelations, the 18th, 19th chapter, that they're going to see that great day. And I believe America is going to be a powder keg here. I believe in America, we need to get right now. I believe we need to get our transmission fixed up right now and whatever's wrong with us, that we might be able to survive what's coming through. Because God's coming through the clouds of glory. He's coming for those who's looking for His coming. He's looking for the redeemed, those who have been blood-bought, paid, and love their God. Oh, I feel the cup of Shidurba. I feel the glory of God here. I feel the hairs of my hat and hand of God's here speaking. He's coming soon. And the churches do not hear it. They don't hear this. I heard last night this message. It was so terrible. And everybody there that thought that was the greatest message ever been. It was all good, but nothing about the Holy Spirit at all. Nothing. Nothing. The Holy Spirit is left out. He's not no there warning. And I tell you, I'm not for these people that's preaching that. I'm against it. I'm a real pusher for the Holy Ghost. He is wonderful. He is the glory. For I, the Lord, have used my glory through my Spirit. I've caused many. I've called for many and caused many that they would be refreshed by my Spirit. And if they would be truthful, even now, many have felt my closeness. They have felt my power. And I say they're struggling through life because they've got very cold, very indifferent in this last hour. I wish for my people to come back, seek me while they can. Rather, Lord, I'm calling forth a time, a gathering together of my people, that they might be ready, that they might be prepared. For I say, my people are lacking. They're lacking. They're not looking for my coming. They're looking for things. They're looking for times that they can come together for enjoyments. They're looking for times of feasts, of glad things, happenings, of merry hearts. All those things are what they're looking for. But I say it's going to be opposite of that when I come. There's going to be great devastation upon this land. There's going to be great problems faced in mankind. I say there's going to be tidal waves of things happening to this oceans. There's going to be many things that cannot be explained only at that hour. I say there's going to be great whoredoms of wrong spirits upon this land, vexing spirits, ugly spirits, and they're going to try the hearts of men. Those that have once known me and find themselves here, they're going to find themselves without a remedy. They're not going to be able to cope with what they see. They're not going to be able to no longer understand like their sermons that they heard in the natural. The natural man is no longer in power. The natural man, he is being dissolved. At that time, you're going to feel so low. You're going to feel so without remedy. You're going to feel like that you've listened to those old, like that sermon I heard last night was just It was a farce. You've listened to those things. It's going to cause you to act like a vomit at that day. Because why did you sell out for that? You had the real thing. You had my spirit. And all you had to do is say, we wish, we want this. Many of you was at those bargaining times when you sat back in your seat and said nothing. The other side, they said, we don't want the Spirit of God. And you sit there and just let it happen. You just want to be the good people. I tell you, you don't win out being a good people once it gets the Spirit of the enemy. He comes in your church. You should have been big enough to move out through your spirit and walk in His Spirit. And I would have blessed you. And I say you've caused many things to happen. It's not complete now because there has been great invitations of wrongdoings. There's been many pastors have left their posts. Many have been told that they cannot over preach just certain things. And they compromise too. And many have went back to that level. But I tell you, my people, says the Spirit of God, you need to realize my coming is soon. And I'm not going to be playing church very long, much longer. I'm coming back for those that are ready. For those whose hearts is made ready, I am not going to continually speak to that heart. I'm going to come. I'm going to find you wanting. I'm going to find you absent of my spirit. And also, in my wonderful word, it says, your name is no longer be written down in the book of life. And my word declares also, for all whose name is not written down in my book of life shall be cast out where? To outer darkness, where there's wailing and gnashing teeth. I say it is going to be sad. It's going to be perpetual of sadness. Troublesome times are going to be upon this earth. There's going to be sadness. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be diverse forces. And I say, my son, that dream that I showed you is coming to pass. It's coming to pass. I say they're living in the filth of this world, and they're enjoying it. They're living in latrines and down there in the cesspool, and they are liking it. But I say when I change the course of time, they'll find themselves in an ugly state. They're going to find themselves being coerced by the wrong spirit. They said they had need of nothing. They didn't need you, or you didn't need your spirit. But I say they're going to come up wanting at that time. They come lacking. And my word says in the Proverbs that I will laugh at their calamity. I will laugh at them because they have made mockery to my spirit. They've made mockery to my servants. They've made mockery to those who walked in my precious spirit. And they have made light of them. They've lightened them like last night. They make light. But I say they'll be changing. They'll change the smiles on their face. It will be a stare. It'll be a perpetual sighing. Why did I ever let this happen to me? Please, God, forgive me. Please, God, forgive me. Why did I ever let this happen? And this will be their plight, says the Spirit of God. For I'm coming soon. Watch for me. I'm coming. I'm coming. Watch. Coming. I'm coming. Be careful. Be careful, my beloved, says the Spirit of God. I really don't know how to close this tonight, so I'm just going to close it with God's blessing. Out there, if you find yourself tonight with the Lord, just keep on going. If you find yourself in people that won't let you serve God, you get away from them. You do whatever you have to, but you keep what you have. You don't let no one take your crown. And that's what happens when you start compromising. You lose your crown. And you lose that name that's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to hang on to your name. That name is written. You need to keep on going, and God will keep you to the very end. He will keep you. He'll be by your side, and He will bless you. He will encourage you. He'll uplift you in a mighty way. Pray, seek His face, call upon Him while He's there, and God will uplift you in a mighty way. Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing on your people this night, in the wonderful name of Jesus. To God be all glory, to God be all praise, and honor. We thank you for those, the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the people that love you this night. We thank you for those out there and through the internet that love the Lord with the Holy Ghost. I pray for you. I pray mightily. I pray for you, Tony, tonight. I pray for you, all of you out there that I don't know you personally, but I know you in the Spirit. I pray for you. Encourage you. Keep on going on, because we're all going to heaven very shortly. We're coming. This countdown is being coming very fast. So be prepared, be ready. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to see you over there. God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Father, I love you. Father, I love you. Father, I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.